Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guy, the thing is, we need to be able to delineate us hanging out as friends without beating ourselves up for being a bit behind on our podcast obligations.
I haven't seen you for like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
It might be.
It feels like a long time. Which means that I haven't seen you as a friend for that amount of time.
I know.
But I also haven't. I haven't worked with you in that amount of time, and it's stupid because I know you're busy. And I, you know what? People's lives get busy. But the fear is, I'll be like, hey, man, we need to hang out.
Yes.
And then the hangout will become a work. All I really want, Tim.
You just want to hang out with your boy.
I just want to spend time with you.
The busyness thing's interesting, isn't it? I'm thinking a lot at the moment about, okay, you can't just be busy all the time. How do we solve it? How does one solve this for oneself? You know?
I mean, you know, there's a period, I think, or there are people where they take great value in their busyness. Mm. I think it feels very LA to me that people are, you know, they've got a lot going on and they're so busy, in fact, that when they're in their downtime, they spend it lining up how busy they are for the people around them.
By the way, folks, the reason why it's so... echo in here. I just decided we were going to pod in the lounge.
You know, I got to say, as mentioned, haven't seen Tim for a long time. Came in, lovely setup. I've always loved your dining table.
It's a good table.
We've got some beautiful plants.
This
next
is
to
Brazilian
us.
Rosewood. I don't think you can buy this anymore. Zoe found it at a secondhand store somewhere.
We're podcasting on Brazilian rosewood, and there were two award-winning, freshly chilled milk stouts in front of our respective microphones. So Tim and I are podcasting while enjoying New Zealand and the world's best milk stout.
It's pretty yum. It's way yummer than I thought something called a milk stout could be.
This is a very, very delicious, full-flavored beer.
Mm.
So Tim...
Carlo left these.
The great Carlo Ritchie.
Do you guys know Carlo Ritchie, co-host of Hosting?
Yeah.
That's a fun credit to say out loud.
He was his whole family were here recently.
Yes, they were.
And that was, do you know, that was probably...
that's when I last saw you. That was probably 2 weeks ago.
And that was some really quality time.
It was fucking nice.
All of our families hung out.
Hey.
Children and adults are plenty.
The reason Carlo was here was because I've stolen him away from Guy. And now Carlo is co-hosting a podcast with me that's coming out at the end of the month.
I'm so excited to hear it. Worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ships perhaps colliding.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be an interesting one. I'll maybe hold fire on that until, I don't know, the publicity comes out or something.
Sounds good.
But everyone needs to give that a fucking hoon when it gets released because it was funded.
Also got an announcement. First of all, what Tim and Carlo have made is insane. I was there for a very small part of it. And
you're coming back to do a little bit more if that's okay.
And I'm coming back to do a little bit more if that's okay. But I've got something I would like to announce for any listeners who are in Auckland. This is the second month running. I've organized an event with one of my favorite cinemas in Auckland, the Capital Cinema on Dominion Road. And once a month, it's called You'd Love It with Guy Montgomery. And once a month, I screen classic movies I've never seen, but people insist I would love. Because we host this podcast, Tim, people think I've seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, you haven't.
And I've got huge gaping holes across my movie-watching curriculum vitae.
You're catching up, though.
I'm working really hard at it. And as part of it, I've organized a monthly screening of a classic film. So in August, I did The Wizard of Oz. And can I just say...
How did that go?
Fucking movie magic.
Yeah,
it was honestly... The fact that was the first color film and that they buried the lead and put And it's
It's not like... It's not like from a historical standpoint, you're like, this is the moment when it changed the color. It's like, no, this is the second... In the movie where everyone experienced it go to colour.
It was incredible. And so the way it works is I choose the film and I screen it, and I obviously haven't seen it. So before it, I write a little sort of 10-minute stand-up set where I speculate about what the movie will be about. So I did The Wizard of Oz, and next month in September, it's the first Tuesday of every month. So on Tuesday, the 6th of September, I'll be screening, and this is actually podcast adjacent, The Terminator.
Oh, sick.
Starring the lesser known, the father of the very famous Patrick Schwarzenegger, the lesser known Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Man, that's such a good flick.
At the Capitol on the 6th of September. If you're in Auckland, I'd love to see you there.
Dude, Terminator's so cool.
Have you seen it?
I should come to that. Yeah. The first two are so fucking good.
I am I'm so excited. You
don't really make movies like that anymore. He said,
"Well,
his advanced years."
I would like, because it's James Cameron directed it, right?
Yes,
I would.
He came up with it in a fever dream.
Really,
I think he was on a flight. I think he was on a plane ride, and he had the flu or something. And he had this. He was caught in a nightmare where he thought a time traveling robot was chasing him, and then he started writing it down, and that became
how few. Like, he's probably got a lot to answer for with respect to other people then thinking their dreams are also interesting or stories worth telling.
You can't beat him up for that, though. His ones, he's made good on it.
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, I think I saw you bemoaning the inevitable, glut of
Avatars?
Feel-good sitcoms in the wake of Ted Lasso, where it's like, for how good it is or how good it makes people feel, it's going to be responsible for a lot of bad, schmaltzy TV. Was that you, or did
it might have been. I can't remember saying it, but that does sound like the kind of cynicism I would weave doesn't it?
But James Cameron's always in New Zealand. I'd love to get him to a screening of his own movie.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be real good. Carlo and I were trying to get him on the pod, actually.
Of course, because he also did
He did Titanic. It's about Titanic, everyone, the podcast I'm making.
I'm always obsessed with theories like this, but I like to think that all of a director's oeuvre constitutes one cinematic universe. So Avatar, Titanic, and The Terminator all exist on the same plane of reality.
With the Na'vi.
Yeah.
From Avatar.
From Avatar.
Yeah.
Is Avatar Pocahontas? Is that what people say?
That's what people say, I think. Yeah. I think it's just maybe the connection. I don't actually really know the story of Pocahontas. I've never seen any of the films. I haven't seen the Disney version or nothing of Pocahontas. Have you?
I think I went to it as a boy.
I've never seen an Avatar either.
Really?
Not 3D, not 2D, not nothing.
I can't wait when they release Avatar 2 in 2015 or whenever the fuck it's coming out.
That year has been. Oh, 50.
No, 15.
You did
that's
say
when 15. It was going to come out.
Right.
I think, or around then. Anyhow, that's all by the way.
Oh, wait,
Tim,
I've got another thing.
Oh, please.
Yeah, and actually I might... here's the thing. You haven't heard from us for a while, and I must apologize for that. It's bad of us. Guy's been beavering away on something. Totally his own that will be revealed later.
We can talk about
can
it.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's
publicly announced. I got funding to make the spelling, the guy I'm on.
Don't say funding. That's less. You got green lit.
I got green lit. I got money. I've been commissioned to make an 8-episode season of the Guy I'm on Spelling Bee.
Cue the fucking applause.
I know. On TV. And it's the most exciting thing. Professionally, that's probably ever happened to me. It's literally unbelievable. And I now work on it all the time.
Folks, things like this don't happen in New Zealand. New Zealand doesn't make shows like this. That is the power of Guy Montgomery.
And this is why it's so important that it's really good.
Yes.
Because there must be more. So that's what I have been... And then I've got my whole life around that. But that's what I've been doing by day.
Beavering away on that. I've been making this Titanic podcast with Carlo that's coming out at the end of the month, which has been hectic. I got laryngitis midway through us recording.
Yeah, I saw you.
Sickness has befallen me a lot this year.
It is interesting who it's targeting. Has it befallen Zoe?
She didn't get hand, foot, and mouth or laryngitis.
Good
so
for her.
Because she's gotten a couple others. She got COVID and...
Oh, everyone's getting COVID.
Everyone's got COVID.
Yeah.
She's got a couple remember colds.
Remember, if in New Zealand, if someone caught COVID, the nation would stop and watch Director of Health talk about it at 1 o'clock every day.
We would grab our nearest pitchfork and fuck that individual person that's up. Right. What a time to be alive. Witch hunts. Oh, yeah. So the other thing that just came out is I've got a podcast, right? With some other, I'm so sorry, guys, not on it. But if it's okay, I might put half of the first episode on this feed.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you. So people can get a little taste and see if they like it. And if they can, they can sub
it's
over there.
It's not Guy Montgomery slander, is it?
No, it is. So I get guest comedians from all across New Zealand to just talk about the worst experiences they've had with Guy Montgomery.
Oh, wow.
And the really crucial bit is Guy could never listen to it.
Be a pretty short season then.
No. I've got 50 episodes backed up already. People were paying me to come on it. It was crazy.
We don't even have 50 comedians, do we? Where are you finding these people?
They came out of the woodwork. I put the premise online. I tweeted it. I said, look, I've got this idea for a podcast, and people just came in their droves.
Tim, this is the last thing I need right now.
Okay, this is not what it is. It's called Socrates Walks Into a Bar, and it's me and two other comics. One's called Nick, one's called Ray.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk really about good. Philosophy. But... we recorded it like 3 years ago, and then I had forgotten we made it.
Holy shit.
And then Nick's been going around like pitching it, and he managed to get someone to kind of like get a sponsor attached and everything. So now it's just come out.
Now it's alive. So with a sponsor.
Mm.
It's already lapping the worst idea of all time.
I know. But that's how it goes.
We've got lots of sponsors. They just don't give us anything. But any product we mention in the podcast is a sponsor.
No, we've got sponsors. All of those.
We're sponsored by KFC now, aren't we, Tim?
All those great ads you hear. I wish.
We're sponsored by Taco Bell, aren't we?
Taco Bell.
Ring the bell. Ding, ding.
Taco time.
It's time for the worst taco
time with Tim and Guy. This sounds good. We should do a, what do they call that when you make a bit of content for the corporation?
Career suicide.
Walked into that one. Should we hear from our friends? See what they're up to.
Oh, it's been a minute. I feel so badly, but I'm excited to hear from our friends. But Tim, truly, from the bottom of my heart, as interpersonally, I'm so grateful to see you. I'm so grateful for you. You're a great man. I love you. And if this is too earnest for the podcast, just put a bleep over all that part.
I'm not going to bleep that at all. I'm going to put it on loop.
Okay.
And so I love you too, buddy. It's so good to see
once
you.
Once they've finished hearing
we need
that
to hang
loop.
Out more. We might even do it off mic at some point. You never know.
Come to the Terminator.
What date did you say?
Tuesday, September 6th.
I think I'm in Owakoni.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Do you want a review? Is that someone left for us? It's
yeah.
4 stars.
Okay.
I started listening to this over a series of depressive episodes, and season 2 has become an extremely comforting presence. The podcast overall, and season 2 specifically, has its problematic moments, but overall, it's so comfortable and welcoming, I definitely recommend it. A massive thank you to the boys for hurting themselves with movies for our amusement. You've helped me through some dark spots, and I appreciate y'all's sacrifice. And that is from Eliza the Houseplant.
I'd love to read that Houseplant's 5-star review of something.
really does read like a 5-star.
If you don't give us the 5, you've got to put in the note for improvement.
No, there was a mention of problematic content on there.
Oh, I see.
Which, I don't know what it is. It definitely will exist. And yeah. I don't really have any desire to revisit it. Is that bad?
No, I mean... People, I feel like we do a pretty good job, and our listeners are very generous and understanding in self-improvement occurring in real time across the seasons of the podcast. Is this true?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's true?
I would agree with that.
I feel like that's true.
We've put out so much.
Wow, this is the thing.
So many hours of us talking that I think people get the vibe that, you know... We try. We're not the smartest boys in the world, but, you know,
we do
our hearts in the right place.
We're not the stupidest. Hey.
No, that would be Guy Montgomery, and you can hear more about it on the new podcast.
I put a sock in it. That's a good name for a podcast. It's just like, I don't know.
No, there's, you'd be shutting down conversation.
No, it's ASMR of putting a sock in different places.
Oh, that is good.
I guess I'm actually now thinking of a podcast called Can I Put a Sock in There?
Ah.
And you're trying to fit a big sock into different... Anyway, this is the most recent correspondence we have on the Facebook. And I'm reading it because it opened as soon as I opened the Facebook. And it says this. Hey guys, it's been a minute since you put out new Twilight content.
Shit.
I'm worried one of you or one of your loved ones is sick or worse.
I kind of was.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wasn't worse. I was just sick.
I don't know what I could do to help if you were, but I would certainly try. For now, I'm wishing all the best for you. Hope to hear something new from my two favorite podcasters soon. That is from Shelley. And Shelley?
Shelley.
Here we are.
Shelley.
Shelley.
Shelley and the Shelley.
Shelley, shall we? Shelley, Shelley. It's obvious we haven't been podcasting for a while because I can't turn a phrase to save myself. It's quite pleased with that.
We're both a bit wiped out. And I think it's also important to mention that it's wintertime in this part of the world that Guy and I inhabit. And we can't escape it because flights are off, kind of. Do you
miss
LA?
I've missed it so much.
Same.
You know, it'd blow your mind how much I miss it. I actually, this is a bit starfucky, but I got a big kick recently on both friends of the podcast, actually, Melanie Linsky, and on Iowa Debris Instagram. These are two women who have are just absolutely so brilliant and talented, and have both somehow been roped into being affiliated with the worst theater of all time. They were both posting on the Instagram stories they met each other, were both equally as excited to meet one another,
so delightful,
as one another. And I thought, God Almighty, I was really meeting only the top tier of New Zealanders.
And us. Now, I've got a message for you from Mac. Subject
the
line.
The shark has.
Don't you wish it could be Christmas every day? January 10th. 28 films, 29 TV specials, 21 derivatives, including a gay Scrooge, a gender swap Scrooge, and a sequel. Countless TV parodies. A Christmas Carol is the most adapted story of all time. The exact number is not clear. Depending on how pure your definitions of adaption and film are, it's anywhere between 50 and 110. I have considered watching all available versions in the past, but why would I want to ruin one of the best stories ever told by turning it into an exercise in torture? That's your job. I propose this challenge for the next season of Twilight. Based on your own interpretations of what is considered an adaptation, watch every version of a Charles Dickens immortal classic, A Christmas Carol. You will become the world's foremost experts on this winter tale. Only you will be able to answer definitively, who is the greatest Scrooge? Who is the scariest ghost of Christmas yet to come? And who is the most puntable Tiny Tim? Kind regards and Merry Christmas from Callum in Ireland. 6 months ago. Maybe seven.
Well,
maybe eight. Shit, it's August. 8 months ago.
God damn. Anyway, you slice it, Callum. It's a pleasure to hear from you. I hope you're enjoying the world-famous Irish summer. And I hope you enjoyed the Irish rugby team's recent victory over the All Blacks here in New Zealand.
Congrats.
And also the Black Caps' recent victory over the Irish cricket team over there in Ireland. I've seen Blackadder's A Christmas Carol as a boy. I've seen The Muppets' Christmas Carol. I've not read A Christmas Carol. I'll bet it's a good book.
Yeah.
Have you read a Charles Dickens book in your life?
I don't think I've read any Charles Dickens books ever.
He is a funny guy. I think he was a bit of a monster by day. Or in between writing.
Mm.
Like so many of the greats.
Just lock them up. Lock them up, give them pen and paper, and just keep them in their little tower. What's happening there? Oh, a little phone call.
It's a call from Ken. Shall I answer it on the podcast?
It's totally up to you. I think you can.
He'll like it.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Ken, I'm just podcasting.
Oh, nice. All right, mate, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you, buddy.
What podcast? Quick.
It's the worst idea of all time. You're actually on the mic.
Hey, Ken.
Wow. Can you hear Tim?
Hey, Tim. I can hear Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hey man, how you doing?
a star guest, am I?
Yeah, you're the star. We've built this whole episode around the hope that you would call me during the record.
Well, here it is. You guys better get some quick questions going.
What was the best part of your day?
The best part of my day was the yoga session I just did.
Oh.
Made me feel euphoric.
Did you get a euphoria kick?
Yeah, in the back of my skull, and my above my, by my neck.
Oh my gosh. How often have you been doing yoga?
Every Tuesday at 7:30.
Can you ask what kind of yoga it is?
You can
once
ask.
Once a week.
What kind of yoga, Tim wants to know?
Vinyasa.
Vinyasa. Hey, that's
the flows.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I've got another question for Ken.
Hit me.
What's the what? And I'm putting you on the spot. What's the best thing you've eaten in the last week?
Went to this curry joint in Queens called Angel. It was some of the best curry I've had. Definitely best curry I've had in America.
Oh my!
Haven't eaten here yet, but
oh my gosh, Ken, you know. The way the questions are being asked, you know, your life sounds like a highlights reel right now. I've also got to know, what was a challenge that you faced today and how did you overcome it?
Well, going to work is always pretty hard, especially with a concussion.
Yeah, you're battling through a concussion.
Just turning up to work and staring at a screen was pretty hard.
And how did you overcome that?
By emailing my boss 10 minutes ago telling him I'm not coming into work for 2 days.
What? How'd you get the concussion, Ken?
I fell off my bike. This good girl was walked out from behind a truck when I was in the bike lane. Didn't look.
Ooh.
Didn't clean me up.
Oh my gosh.
It was a yard sale.
Did you buy anything?
I didn't know. She did a runner. She took off. She was scared I was going to sue her or something.
Shit, man.
That is... See, you told me this recently, and I was worried the inverse would be true, and that you would ride into a litigious American, and that they would sue your, you know, your backwater New Zealand ass.
Yeah, no, I should have been more woke to that. I should have been suing her ass.
Well, I think... You know, accidents happen. I'm very sorry you're concussed, but no lawsuits is a pretty good outcome.
Yeah, no, it is. Anyway, I'll let you guys get back to your podcast.
Well, we'll probably wrap it up now, but I'll call you later, Ken.
Okay. See ya.
See ya. Now.
Bye, mate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That was Ken, everyone.
Yeah. I've got a deep and abiding love for Ken.
Fair enough. He's a very talented man. In fact, if you turn your head 90 degrees.
Gosh, yeah, we're podcasting next to one of his artworks.
Ken's an artist and a bunch of my friends. I can only assume under the direction of Guy Montgomery, went in together and for a wedding present. Commissioned an original piece by him, and it has pride of place in the dining room.
Do you know what? I'm going to I take a photo of it.
Yeah,
I'll upload it.
You should. You absolutely should.
Take a photo. You of it. I'll take a photo.
Definitely
of us too.
Should. You this should also
nice,
do that.
I'm having a really nice moment with you.
That's good, man. That's what it's all about. Friend zone.
Yeah.
Shall
I go?
Yeah.
This is from a while ago now, the 5th of July.
The 5th? Remember, the 5th of July. Oh, the bread and the pasta and the wine.
It's a bad look, Tim.
What?
This happens sometimes on my Facebook page as well, where there's an auto-reply by the Facebook bots.
Did you send it? Or does it just send it?
It just sends it. It says, hi.
What the fuck? Don't... It
says this. Hi, thanks for contacting us. We've received your message and appreciate your getting in touch.
Listen, Zach, I didn't fucking want you to do that, actually. That's not our. That's not what we're all
you
about.
Know what is the most impressive thing about it is the non-committal nature of the auto reply. It's like, hey, yeah, we got it. There's nothing about.
I hate that. I hate that. So that is far worse than no reply. That reply going to someone.
Mm.
I'm livid.
Well,
I'm furious.
Let's make it up to Ben by reading out what he wrote.
All right,
dearest Frosty folk, a story, if you'll bend the ear. And there's a turn of phrase I love. I think it might be Australian. Sorry for bending your ear.
Yeah.
It's like when you chew someone's ear off, you bend their ear.
Go too long.
It's really nice. Contextually, I've just listened to the Man Mountain Monty recount how an honest audience member found your show so fantastic that they left your show lighter than they arrived, having left behind a significant quantity of effluent.
Good writing.
Yeah. The story reminded me of an incident I was privy to back in the halcyon days of early 2020. The world was carefree and COVIDless, and I was a cast member in a touring strip show. The show would take us around Australia, performing in most major cities across the land. I'll spare you the gory details, but needless to say, it was undoubtedly one of the happiest and horniest times in my living memory.
Fantastic.
Onward to the incident. It was amongst the last few shows of our tour, and we were playing a couple of nights at the beautiful Tivoli Theatre in Brisbane. A Saturday night, the crowd was merry, the drinks were flowing, and the cast was elated. The show proceeded in kind, and it turned out to be one of our favourite shows of the tour. As the curtain closed, we were yet to discover that it would also be the most memorable. In Guy's story, after the theatre had emptied, he stepped onto the stage to behold a seat covered in powder, a gaggle of bemused ushers, and a story yet to be told. The very same scene greeted myself and my fellow cast members as we prepared to leave the venue. Apparently, according to the security and CCTV, not one, not two, but three young audience members had been so powerfully stimulated by the show we'd put on that they simply couldn't help themselves.
No.
Guy, Tim, they fucked in the back row.
Oh, wow.
Incredibly, they'd remained undetected by security long enough to deposit large amounts of DNA onto the seats around them.
Jesus.
The group were eventually removed from the venue, likely with some kind of ban, and it's here my story concludes. In retrospect, I should feel less surprised at this incident. Being a strip show, I guess it comes with the territory. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I hope you've enjoyed this retelling. Love to you boys, and stay extra well.
Ben, right?
Yes.
Let me open with this. Loved the retelling.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Really well written.
Man. People fucking's way better than people shitting in your show.
Well,
remember that time we had that at the Monte Cristo?
Yes.
We did a Twiowet live show and two amorous people got down to business in the middle of the show. I don't think I've ever been prouder of eliciting such a reaction from the crowd.
Yeah, I totally forgot that was... I mean, you know, we weren't even stripping. We were just discussing, I believe, Sex and the City 2, possibly for the first time.
Maybe.
How about that?
I don't think you can get better than that. Here's the ranking. A guffaw is good. An applause break is great. A standing O, hard to beat, but you can beat it because when people have sex in the audience, you know... You've done your job.
Can you just, for my own ranking system, where does someone filling their pants sort of slide into this scale?
Man, here's the thing about shitting. It's sort of like all the things I mentioned are on the y-axis and shitting is... it's like on a different sort of dimension of it.
He's not wrong.
Does that make sense?
And when you're not wrong, you're right.
Well, here's a message from, I'm going to say Kale. I actually really like this. I like how it looks. Look at that. Look at that name. K-A-E-L.
That's
it's
nice.
Got a beautiful shape to it. Hey, Tim and Guy, thanks for the hours of entertainment. Did you know that the Pikelet King himself now hosts a podcast with the other writers of And Just Like That. It's mostly mostly infuriating listen as young writers explain their ideas and Mattress explains how he tears them apart. One note from it is that while remaining staunchly defensive of Sex and the City 2, Mattress deliberately kills ideas that he finds too reminiscent of the original Sex and the City, appearing to share your view that the TV series is not canon. I believe this is good evidence for the argument that And Just Like That exists because of you. Bye!
Appreciate it. Kale. Love it.
I think it's Kale.
Couldn't agree more.
Did you listen to that? No, we did get told at the time. I'm tempted.
I know, but do you know, when I stack it up against how little time I've found to pursue the parts of my life that are just for me or that I enjoy, and included in that list is hanging out with you, Tim, I think that taking on a podcast to sort of ironically listen to that's half for work and half out of my own curiosity is... it's not inside of the current remit of, you know, things I'm looking to take on.
Well, I'll do it.
All right. I dare you to. I double dog dare you to. I've got one.
Go on.
So this is we were sent a message on the 15th of June.
Fuck, it's cool that people message us. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can. And then get this, they send a follow-up because it was sitting there unacknowledged.
Oh.
On the 7th of July. And the message they sent on the 15th of June was an image.
Can I see it or are you going to describe
it? I'll read you the message first, then I'll show you the image. So it says, "Hey there, boys. I'm sure you've got a lot of messages to get through, but I just wanted to check that you read my picture of a man that I sent to you. I was particularly looking forward to hearing Guy weep as he read it. Much love to Tim, as always." The picture, Tim, is a photo of English cricketer Johnny Bairstow mid sort of triumphant leap, with his helmet off and his bat about to be raised in the air, because at the time the image was taken, he had just scored a match-turning and winning century for the English Test team against the Black Caps in our recent whitewash Test tour of England. So this was a sort of a collegial ribbing, a sort of a well-intentioned antagonistic missive sent towards me because, you know, it's established I like cricket, and evidently so too does this listener, and we support opposing teams. So I'd like to say congratulations to the English cricket team, of course. It is notable that the turnaround has been helmed by both a New Zealand coach and captain. And look, we were totally outplayed in the series, and you know, you might not know this, but it's sent a lot of New Zealand cricket fans into a bit of a fear of an identity crisis forming.
New Zealand sports fans got to fucking get a grip.
Nah.
Between this and the All Blacks, it's like, guys, fucking calm down.
Nah, it's nice to have something to think about sometimes that isn't your own life.
It's true.
That's what sports are there for.
It's true, but like, you know, have a modicum of
you know what,
proportionality to the thing.
Do you know one of the best days I had in the last month was watching the All Blacks game from the weekend just been? And that wouldn't have been possible without them losing so many games beforehand.
Mm. Oh, was that the South Africa game?
Yeah.
I understand sports now, Guy, because I'm betting on things.
Oh, I bet on that too. I actually won some money on that game.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Nice one.
I'm in a betting syndicate.
Yeah. Can I see the image?
You can.
It might be my turn soon, actually, to pick a bet, because we all take turns. It's a turn-based thing. Oh, that's a real, like, how's it kind of a fucking cricketing pose.
It's interesting to me that you're in a betting syndicate because you're not naturally inclined towards sports. And so,
yeah, but you know what I am naturally inclined to? Gambling.
Exactly. And so my curiosity is, like, what is the system by which you deign what you'll be betting on? Do you have to have any background knowledge, or do you look at numbers and data and you think...
For the team or for me personally?
When it's your turn to select a bet.
I don't dedicate like a huge amount of time to... I'm a real shoot from the hip kind of guy, Monty. You know this about me. I'm a vibe guy. I get a vibe, I go with it.
You're a big vibe guy.
So on my first one, I bet on the Māori All Blacks were playing Ireland.
Yeah.
And I just look at, like, you know, a vaguely sensible spread with a great payout. And I'm like, this feels like a bit of me. So I think it was, you know, it was like the Māori All Blacks to win by... 12 plus or something. Or maybe less, actually.
It's 12 and under and 13 and over.
Maybe it was 12 and under. Yeah. Like they win, but not by much. And it was paying something like $4. I was like, it seems doable. And it paid off.
I love that.
Hit it. So it's just shit like that, man.
Hit it.
The only rule in the syndicate, got to be people. No dogs, no horses.
Yeah.
But you can bet on anything.
And you obviously you can't bet on a, you know, if horses ran free, but no, that because then it would
you don't
be
want
organized.
To race them though if they're doing that.
I know,
and you don't want to judge the freedom with which
I've had
they're
a few,
running.
Videos coming through on my Facebook algorithm recently of humans performing horse dressage in horse dressage arenas, but it's just people.
Wow!
And I haven't watched them long enough to discern whether or not it is a comedy sketch or if it's an actual competition that's taking place.
Wow!
So, how about that?
How about that? Are you into it? When it pops up, are you like...
I'm sort of like, I smile. There's a wry smile that crosses my face.
How serious are the people who are doing it?
Wry. Those are good homophones. Spell, Tim, spell wry.
R?
You can ask for the word in a sentence.
I don't know how to spell either version.
Okay.
Okay, what is it? Okay, give it to me in a sentence.
The baker cast a wry smile at his perfect loaf of rye.
R-H-Y-E.
That
rye.
Is actually how you spell a band that is called Rye. That
you could have worked
some
into
great them. Music, but it's not.
Wait, how do you spell the what is rye? Is that like kind of oats?
Yeah, rye is R-Y-E and rye is W-R-Y.
That makes sense.
And, you know, you can see why it's got money to be a TV show.
It's got legs. It's got a lot of legs. All right. Unfortunately, we have to wrap it up.
Yeah, we've got to put a pin in it.
It's also possible that the dogs run away. So I'll go.
Rufus would do that sort of thing.
He does now.
Really?
Because he can take it. It's sort of.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Fine. I've trained him pretty freaking well. I put the time in so he knows what a road is and he doesn't go on it. But he does know where the dog park is.
Yeah.
So if I don't put that little gate down... to prevent him from escaping. Sometimes they've just
gone burgers.
Oh, fuck this.
I often see him standing on the side of your road with like holding up a paw, like he's trying to hitchhike.
Yes, he does. He goes up north.
What does he do up there?
He just likes it up there.
Unwinds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big open roads, a lot of fields.
You can feel tight in the city.
Yeah, he wants to get out of the concrete jungle. Yeah,
got to get out there and earth yourself.
Holds him back, man. He's a dog that needs a bit of space and he needs to see the sky. And I'm preventing him from doing that.
And what's not to love about that? It's great to be back with you, Tim. It's great to be back
with you. We're back, baby. And even our editor has been busy. So the person who does the sort of polishing touches on our Killionaire TV episodes, we've just had the 48-hour film competition in New Zealand, and he is the like city manager for Christchurch.
That's right.
And he's instrumental in the national comp as well, so he's had a lot. We've all had
he would have had a huge speaking
huge.
Of that, I was
I didn't even ask about that.
I was in it
with
a team helmed by sports team who are the very talented and creative Annabelle Keane and Callum Devlin. They're actually responsible for a lot of the great Beths music videos. The Beths have a new single and music video out today.
Okay,
I watched it.
People have got to remember a lot of things.
Favorite song and video for a long time.
Shit,
really made me feel
huge.
Good.
Is it Expert in a Dying Field or is
no,
it different?
No, it's Knees Deep.
Oh man, I haven't heard
the Beths, Knees Deep. Look it up on YouTube. Watch the video. hear the song.
Our notes is just going to be a series of links of things for you to do and watch and see and hear. This is the world we live in now.
This is a homework assignment.
But the thing that comes out next on this feed might be a little sample of that Socrates podcast. Yeah. I hope that's okay with you. I know some people are going to get angry about that, but immediately following that up will be a new Killionaire episode. Yeah. So it all comes out in the wash.
So go F and Jeff yourselves. It's been a treat.
What do you want people to do? Priority one. What, people are going to leave this episode, get on with their lives. What do you need for them to know and do?
Like, pick up the phone and call one of your best friends and just talk to each other about your lives. And at the end of the phone call, say, I love you.
Yeah. And if you don't have a person like that in your life, what I want you to do is get whatever kind of headphones are available to you and just go for a nice fucking walk, man.
Yeah.
Just a nice walk.
And if you don't have headphones and you don't have a friend,
keep listening to us.
Yeah, out loud on your phone speaker.
On the bus or train or ferry.
Yeah. Peace and love, peace and love, peace and love. The friend.